Well, we're talking about repentance this month, and I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about get in the battle. You know, whether you like it or not, the devil brings a battle to you every day. There's no choice about that. He's bringing it to your life, to your workplace, to anything you touch. And if you keep avoiding and backing away, you're not winning. Repentance is not just stopping things. You've got to get involved in the battle. Does that make sense? You can't just keep saying, oh, okay, I don't want to do that. I want to do this. But what are you going to do different? How are you going to get involved so that God walks with you and helps you to overcome the challenges that you face? You cannot win by just avoiding and backing in a corner. You've got to get involved in the battle. Amen? So David left the sheep with another shepherd and set out early the next morning with the gifts. As Jesse had directed him, he arrived at the camp just as the Israelites' army was leaving for the battlefield with shouts and battle cries. For 40 days, they went out, lined up, shouted, made all kind of noises, but never fought Goliath and walked back. 40 days, that was happening. And David just arrived in time. What is your 40-day battle that you've been going out, shouting, but never doing anything about it? Telling yourself, I'm going to do something about it, but you do nothing. You go back, and it remains the same. There's a lot going on right now. We're trying to build our family groups. We're trying to do missions. We're trying to get involved in helping other people to know God. And these are just personal things that God may be bringing to your attention. And you may be getting out on the battle line, but never getting ahead to the battle. Going back and saying, we'll see what happens tomorrow. We'll look for a good time. We'll look for a good opportune time. And God says, the time is now. So, to get involved, you just can't come to the line and then go back. You've got to go beyond that. What do you do? Choose faith over fear. 1 Samuel 17:8-9 says, Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, why do you come out and line up for the battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. That he would come out every day and say, listen, I am here. I'm ready to fight. Are you not the soldiers of Saul? Choose one of your guys to come and fight me. I tell you that is happening in our lives every day. You come out every morning. Something in your life saying, if you are the son of God, if you're the daughter of God, why are you not overcoming? It's happening to us every day. Do you choose faith or do you choose fear? What happens? A lot of the things that we've talked about to change, to get involved, connected to God, connected to the Word of God, connected to relationships, overcoming fear, it takes faith, but you got to make that choice. You cannot hope it will just happen. The idea that you can just read your Bible and somehow changes just happen to you, you've got to make choices as well. You've got to make choices as well to be different. To come along to say, God, I'm going to move this direction. If you're going to do the missions, you've got to make a choice to do that mission and to plan towards that. Does that make sense? If you're going to get to one another relationship, you've got to decide who is the person I'll get connected to. If you're going to get committed to the body of Christ, you've got to make that choice. It does not just happen. Too many of us hope that it just happens. No, it doesn't work like that. In fact, the Bible says that on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed. You know when you're dismayed? You're surprised. You're scared so much that you just turn back. Has someone ever pulled a heavy prank on you, a big one, and told you something you didn't believe? the amount of fear in you is like, oh my goodness. And I know that many of us have never seen. I was once, okay, let me put it this way. They were trying to rob me, three people. And one was very tall, and one was very wide, very big. And they all come, and I'm like, I can't handle this. And when I think about that, that is fear right there. Because it's dark, there's no one in the streets, it's just you and them, and you're trying to figure out, how do I get away from this? Of course, eventually, I waited for a vehicle was coming my way, and as the vehicle came, I just run. And that's how I survived to see another day. It was not a fair battle, right? My point is, you have to make a choice. I would have stood there and said, okay, let's see what happens. But I figured, three guys, I have no chance here. The choice to leave is to move out of this environment. What choices do you have to make for your life? For your spiritual journey to really move, what choices do you have to make? There are choices you have to make. If you don't make those choices and take action, you're going to get stuck. And every Sunday you come here, Wednesday, I'll be talking about God, and you feel pressurized and overwhelmed and dismayed and terrified. Why? Because it's so true, but you're doing nothing. That is how you overcome fear. You put your faith and put it to action, and you begin to grow. You begin to see the difference. You will not see difference in your life by just hoping and changes. You've got to take some action about your life. So what will I do different this week? What will I do different after church? Who will I talk to? Who will I reach out to? What will I do different this evening? How will I plan my tomorrow? How different will that be? Make a choice, but based on faith, not fear. When you go on fear, you start giving yourself reasons why tomorrow will not remain the same. When you have fear, you start explaining logistically and logically why these things can't change. But when you have faith, you say, hold on, I can work on these things, and by the grace of God, we're going to overcome that. So you go in faith. Amen? Secondly, choose growth, don't run. You know, growth, as we understand it, is not just the growth of your muscle and other aspects. It's the growth of your soul, of your attitude, of a person, of the person you've become, becoming different. That in a place where you lost, where you are so angry, you are calm and peaceful. In a place where you're anxious, you prayed and trusted God. That you're growing, you're different. That does not just happen. You have to choose that growth. Sometimes we're going through things, we don't even study them in the Bible and hear God. What is God saying? We choose to hear what people say. We choose to hear what the world is saying. We choose to hear what everything else is saying. But we don't choose to say, you know what? I need to hear you, God, and I can overcome. And this is what it says, choose growth. So here's what happened to those guys. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from the lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. You see, that challenge you're facing in your life will shout the moment I stop preaching. What will you do? Are you going to run? Are you going to run? Right now you hear God. Right now maybe you're connected to what we're talking about. But after church today, will you stay the course or will you run? You see, growth is a painful thing. Growth is not for the faint-hearted. It's easy to be like everybody else and just gel and just hang around. But if you want to grow and find God and find your full potential, it's painful. If you think about your life, the things you changed most were difficult at some point. Doesn't happen. I'm sure Stephen Roker and his wife finally figured what it means to raise a child now at night. But there's growth happening right there. Right? Waking up at night, whatever. It's no longer about. Esther is the show. You're now spectators. You got to just watch out and help grow. And all of a sudden, life is no longer about the two of you. It's all about the child that God has given you. It's a growth. It's not always easy to cede that position to another person. But that happens to all of us. You'll have to make a choice to grow. What's your pain? You've got to go there and grow. You cannot grow by hope, by just guessing. You've got to decide, God, I put myself in your hands. They had the Goliath speak and they all run. They run instead of saying, I want to grow. They run away from the lions and shouted as usual. And this was a usual defiance that was going to happen again and again and again. You know, if you think about your weaknesses, if you think about your challenges, they come the same way. Right? And if you think about it, you're doing the same thing. Are you surprised that you're not growing then? So if you're going to change it, you've got to say, what does the scripture say? How different will I tackle this time? Maybe you go home and the child does something. Instead of shouting, you'll say, hold on, I need to think about this before I say what I have to say. I want to say it in such a way that this child can hear me and make some changes, right? Maybe it's just the conflict between you as a spouse. Something happens, you do the same thing. This time you'll step back and say, I want to say it in such a way that the other person can hear me. Does that make sense? It may be you got to reach out to someone. You got to say, you know what, I just need to pray and tell it to them that God can hear. They can hear God more than me. Does that make sense? That's growth. But they didn't. They run. They run in fear. The reason why we don't grow is because we are afraid of how will it turn out if I put myself out there, if I take the risk, how will it turn out? It will turn out that God is greater than your fear. That's how it will turn out. But you've got to trust and put yourself out. We're all protecting ourselves, and that's why we don't grow. To grow, you've got to get out. They were here for 40 days, talking and shouting. Nothing was going on. The Bible says when Israel saw that man, they all ran from him. David had it. Let's see what happens. We see the world as we are. Let's talk about this. When Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the man, he burned with anger at him and asked, why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is. You came down only to watch the battle. Hold on. How do you know that? Are you in his heart? This is a brother speaking to David. How does he know that? Now, if you know the story in the Bible, there's something going on. David's going to be king someday. There's contention. There's conflict going on, right? But he's saying a lot of stuff, thinking, that's David's heart. He doesn't know that. One good teacher said that we see the world as we are, not as the world is. Here's why. You tend to have a view of the world that is shaped by how you think you would behave. And because you think that way, you think everybody else behaves the same way. In other words, if you're buying a gift, sometimes you buy a gift that you would want someone to buy for you. You're not buying a gift for that person. The same applies when judging people. For the most part, you're doing it from how you see the world and how you want the world to be seen, not for what it is. It takes much more to see the world as it is. You have to say, I don't know that part. I need to find out what's going on in somebody's heart. And sometimes we see the world as it is and we judge and put people down. You know, maybe your family group is not functioning as well, but you may be seeing the world as you are. If you want change in that family group, you got to get involved. Maybe you don't have a one another relationship that is healthy and you're looking for one. You got to get that step and change and say, it's not going to be like what it used to be. It'll be different. You have to take that first step forward. But don't judge the world from your position. Because maybe your heart, you doubt, you don't see anything good, so you see everything that is tainted. That is the glass, that's the paradigm you have. So you see things from a very tainted point of view. You've got to let God influence you. You do that by saying, this is what I think, but what does the Bible say? This is what I think, but what does God say? And you begin to change how you see things. Does that make sense? This is what David's brother was saying of David. David was not thinking like that at all. David came to bring food. He had this. He got, what's going on here? That is the same thing. It's, you may be thinking something is wrong. Probably you're the one that needs the most help. turn around, be that help, make the change. Same problem, same person, changed, overcomes. Same problem, same Goliath, same people, same environment. One guy says it like, oh my goodness, I can't handle this. Another one says, we can handle this. Circumstance should not dictate the future. How many of us today tell ourselves that I have no one to help me, or I don't know how the future will turn out, so I just give in. I give up. Is that your story? I know a guy who wanted to go to college, or and as I can give you two, but I'll give you the story of a lady. The husband was dying and that was going down, and she told herself he was getting sick, and she told herself, there's no way I'll help my family if I just sit here. And so she went to the dean in the university and asked her, have you ever sponsored someone to study for free? He said, no. Can you sponsor me? He said, yes. For free. It's a real story. She did everything and grew, and I mean, she's well known around here in America. But the point is that she didn't just wait and say, now that he's going to die, what's going to happen to me? She says, I'm going to do something. I'm going to ask for a free education. It's never been done before. Well, she got it. The question is, we all wait to see when has it been done before. That's not faith. That is something you've seen before. I'm asking for you to do something that has never been done before in your life. See, the truth, and I've said this before, the truth is you've never been this old today. Whatever age you are, this is your first day to be that age. So don't talk from experience. This is your first day of 60 plus a day, 70 plus a day, 20 plus a day, 16 plus a day, 10 plus a day, 2 plus a day. I don't know how old she is, but what plus a day. So you cannot claim to want to live a life based on what happened yesterday. That is what holds us back. We are so much backward focused, not the future. So we have no future, even though we talk about the future, but we let circumstances dictate what the future will be. We will not give ourselves to it. We don't know how it will turn out, but we will not strive to give our passion to that future. Why? Because it's comfortable to sit in a place where you know what's going to happen. But God wants you to thrive with a place where you don't know what will happen. And that's the question today. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy and has been a fighting only. Let me take two on that one. 33. Saul replied, you are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy and he has been a fighting man from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and carried off the sheep from the flock. Well, he took care of it. You know the story, right? You know the story. He took care of that. Saul replied, you're not able to go out. You got your voice telling you that, right? You're not able to go out. You're not able to graduate. You're not able to do what? You can't be different. You got to just stay like everybody else in the neighborhood. There's a better life that God is giving us. And that takes faith. That was Saul telling one of the men that want to help him. Everybody else doesn't want to do anything, but there's one guy wanting to. But David had faith and told him what God had done in his life. You see, I want to start this morning to tell you, you've got to look at the victories God has given you before and what happened, and start there, and you'll overcome. You don't have to be afraid. You've got to take on those victories. My conviction is that the reason we experience an average life is because we refuse to embrace God in faith. We embrace what we see around us, not what God is saying about us. So we ought to grow and put ourselves in faith and ask God to help us to do this well. But let's not allow circumstances to hold you back. So one of the stories I like to tell about myself is this. I grew up in Africa, and my mom died when I was 1 year, 8 months. The chances of me living was very minimal. But here I am today. So for that reason, I say if I could live then, I can surely live now. Because they told me of the odds of just how you could not survive and all the diseases that will come with that in the 70s. But here we are. You see, if you go into the statistics of it, you're going to lose your faith. You're going to rise above the statistics of it and say, I can do this. So when life is really throwing things at me, I remember, well, even when I couldn't think about my life, God took care of me. Why can I not do it now? What's your story? You have a story that can get you inspired. And God can get you changing. Whatever you need to do. Take off that which is holding you down. David fastened on his sword over the tunic. This was being given to him by Saul. And tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot go in this, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. That he was going to go to war. He was a young guy, given all the stuff you need to war. And he walked around and felt like, I can't handle this. It's too heavy for me. Sometimes what we're trying to do is to copy somebody else's life. You're trying to be a copy of Darius, trying to be a copy of Queen. You're trying to be a copy of someone. God is not trying to do that with you when he says in Jeremiah 29:11, I have a plan for you. It's not about being a copy of someone. It's finding why God created you. Right. And that can happen if you're just trying to copy someone. Now this is a hard place. Because then you've got to ask yourself, why was I born? You got to interrogate that and ask yourself, why did God put you here on the planet to do something for him? And you cannot do that by just trying to be a photocopy of somebody. You got to find God, and God reveals you himself to you, and you begin to be changed. That is a challenge we face today. He's walked around. I can do this, but I can do it another way. He went with what he knew how to do. Here's the issue. Many of us here are afraid to find out who we really are. So, if everybody's getting a C, why can't I get a C in class? Well, if you're an adult, if everybody's not succeeding, why should I try? If marriage is going down, all my peers' marriage is going down, why should you agree? Why should you use statistics to justify your position? Statistics is the new God. We look at statistics and justify our position. What are my chances? We don't pray. We don't ask God, I can overcome this. We say, what are my chances? We look at statistics. It doesn't work like that with God. Our God is not a God of statistics. He can change up and throw and shake up all that statistics. What is holding you back? Really, what's holding you back in engaging? Are there statistics you play in your head? Friends, people you look at and say, wow, I can't do that. Take off that which is holding you down. Turn around. Maybe just your mindset. Just your mindset. You know, you can have a funky mindset. You're sad, you're down all the time. You hardly see what God says about you. You know, some of us, what you need to do today is go home, sit down, and have a conversation about difficult issues. Amen? But just do one thing today. Not everything, just one thing today. Talk about that and sort that out, amen? Make sure that you begin to change. That's holding you down. For some of us, what you need to do is to look at your account and get organized with the finances. And say, I need to get a budget down and start to plan how I'm going to start tithing and all that other stuff. Does that make sense? For some of us, what you got to do is you got to have a conversation with your child. Have a conversation with your neighbor. That is what you need to do to get rid of what's holding you down. For some of us, you need to walk in the office tomorrow and have a good conversation with your boss. That's scary for many of us. My boss? Yeah, you don't know that boss. Of course, I don't know him. But God knows that man. You pray about it and have a good conversation. Things will turn around. I don't know that boss, but with prayer, your boss may be converted because of you. Well, that's a matter of faith. Let's finish here. Time is against me. With God, anything is possible. So 1 Samuel 17, 44-45. Come here, he said, and I will give you flesh to the bad. I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Change happens when it's all about God. Not when it's about you. You have limitations like nobody's business. But when it's about God, you change, you grow, and you see God transform you. David speaks about it from not, he's a big guy, he has this javelin, he's been fighting since he was youth. He just says, God will give you to me. I don't know what your Goliath is, but God will give that victory to you. But you've got to do something today. Not tomorrow, today. Amen? Because tomorrow you wake up and don't want to hear about Goliath. You're going to say, it's too hard. While you still think about it, we got to start making some changes today. Amen? Maybe you need to talk to someone and just ask questions and figure out where do we need to go and work on that. Some things change quickly. I have a caveat. Character things take a while. Because it's been a while since so you got to pray about it, talk to people, get help, get a team together, and in God's time, things turn around. Amen? This morning, I just want to encourage you to know that you can overcome. You don't have to give in to status quo. God bless you.